right, Hunter. Let's have it. Deep Space pilots called the Jupiter Skyway approach port Max Boomtown. The value of the cargo passing through the facility on any given day could easily rival the total output of one or more colonies along the reach. The man in charge of it all was a no-nonsense merchant marine inspector by the name of Jeremiah Fubing. Honestly, Inspector, I can't believe you, of all people, could think I would violate fleet contraband policy. Jason Hunter was standing with his hands folded behind his back and wearing his most unthreatening expression along with his flawlessly pressed and shined Skywatch officer's uniform. Around the inspector's office hummed the vital operations of Merchant Customs Authority. Max Boomtown was one of the largest civilian freight inspection stations in the core sector, often processing more than 100 ships a day, ranging in size from personal interplanetary cruisers to billion-ton star trains. "Sure you don't want to come to the party?" Hunter asked, trying to distract the overworked customs officer. Inspector Fubing sat at his desk, fiddling with fiddly scraps of paper. He believed computers were 100% of the reason his numbers failed to add up correctly, so he kept all his records in writing. His prodigious weight scarcely fit between his sagging desk and the wall. The office looked like an 18th century British librarian's closet, with tiny wooden drawers, brass cabinet fittings, and enough accounting books to sink a small rowboat. Out the window behind him, Hunter could see the line of ships docked for inspection. His shuttle was the closest and the smallest by a factor of at least 6. "Hunter, every time you come through here, we go through the same dance. You and I both know you're carrying illegal booze. I call you on it, you deny it. Then I have to decide if I want to send a squad of officers out to climb through your ship deck by deck looking for it. The next time, I'm just going to shoot you. It's less paperwork. Get that juiced up hot rod off my docks." Fubing shoved a customs clearance into Hunter's hands and waddled towards the door, wheezing impatiently. "It's going to be a bash, Inspector. Sure you won't. Get out, Hunter," Fubing shouted across the bustling customs office. "Just one drink," he called back. "Out," the voice echoed. Moments later, Hunter spied his favorite Boomtown official. She went by the name Tissily, and she had been persuaded on multiple occasions to let the captain skate by when the inspector wasn't looking. He snuck up on her desk and appeared from behind her overhead cabinets. "Hi," Hunter grinned. "Missed me?" "You get out of here," Tissily whispered urgently. "The last time you and that creature almost got me fired." The captain was leaning over the half-height wall to look down on her desk. He picked up her tablet and flipped through the pages nonchalantly. "I see you're still reading those naughty books with the shirtless pirate captains on the covers," Hunter teased as he raised an eyebrow. "Ooh, the pirate has a tomato." Tissily ripped the tablet out of his hands and put it in a drawer. "Do I have to call security?" "Oh, don't be like that," the captain replied, reclining his chin on his arms and overdoing the smoldering look. "I was going to invite you to our party. Honora got her SAR ticket. We're flying into Scary's for a drink and dinner and maybe a little something extra. That sounds like something you would have jumped at before you turned into Tissily the worker bee." She actually hesitated, looking into the captain's dancing eyes and gazing at his sandy boyish hair for a moment and remembering how many times he was the only reason she smiled. Then she remembered the time she had to be bailed out of jail half-dressed and her expression darkened again. "I have plans." "Oh, well, I tried. Say hi to your mom for me," Hunter sauntered off. "Hey, Mike, how's the new sled?" Tissily watched as the captain greeted at least 5 more people before walking out into the soft lock. She quickly suppressed her second thoughts and went back to her rows and columns of numbers. "Neek, what's the good word?" Hunter removed his coat and stored it in the inboard bay before donning the upper half of his flight suit. "Welcome aboard, Captain. Status of Command 1 is nominal." The pleasant electronic female voice responded over the shipwide intercom. The Argent command computer's name was Dominique, but Hunter preferred fewer syllables, so it was quickly shortened to Neek. What's the weather forecast on this dark and starry day? The Jupiter primary is relatively quiet, no unusual readings to a distance of 0.1. Very good. Engage communications auto systems and begin flight checks. Hutter closed the door to Command 1's aft storage. The boxes of scotch, rum, and various brews were stacked 8 high. Affirmative, auto systems engaged. The captain switched his comlink, Hunter to Argent. A brief pause. Hutter pulled on his flight suit pants and began working with the pressure seals on his boots. Argent, Ensign Walls here. Walls, who's my officer of the watch today? I am, sir. The young officer's voice was tremulous. It was pretty clear he hadn't been in command of the watch for long, and it was also pretty clear he wasn't used to addressing the skipper in person. Are you taking good care of my ship, Ensign? Yes, sir. Outstanding. Plot a course to Jupiter 5 and give me a best speed ETA. Soft voices could be heard in the background, just loud enough to trigger the pickups in Ensign Wall's high-gain microphone. Sir, the ETA to Jupiter 5 is 9 hours safe speed. Very well, Argent. Plot your course and bring the ship about. Command 1 will rendezvous at the AutoNav beacon. Hunter out. After bounding into the pilot seat, Hunter expertly activated the magnetic locks on his flight harness, sealed the ship's environmental controls, and cleared the moorings. Neek was busy negotiating a departure vector, which the computer knew from experience the captain would ignore. The main idea was simply to let Space Lane Traffic Control know when Command 1 was going to rocket into the approach and blast its way free of the launch corridor. STC, this is Command 1, requesting jets and standing by. The turbine-like whine of the shuttle's mains filled the ship with the thrum of fusion-generated power. Hunter skillfully tapped out the remaining configuration commands and flexed his gloved hands as the vessel's maneuvering controls unlocked and rotated into position on either side of his flight couch. HUD readouts glowed on the inner surface of the viewport, and Hunter's tac suit stabilized pressure and life support with a cheerful, bell-like sound. Hunter activated the dock lock release, breaking the last physical connection between the shuttle and Jupiter Station. Command 1, this is Space Lane Traffic Control. Navigate departure lane 14. AutoNav is disengaged. Have a nice flight. We are free and clear to navigate, Captain, Dominique calmly announced. Affirmative, STC, Hunter replied. The sleek white shuttle pivoted weightlessly. Its pilot punched the maneuvering thrusters and blasted free of the ship line. Captain Hunter nudged the lateral flight controls. The vessel banked to starboard. He throttled the engines up to 1/4 power. His ship silently accelerated as the large control bank numbers indicated relative velocities spun higher. The tiny ship slid into the station's electronic launch corridor just ahead of an immense commercial freighter. Captain Hunter pinged their navigational comm frequency with a friendly greeting before pulling away into open space.